University of Illinois, a resource for UIUC faculty and students with entrepreneurial ideas and aspirations. More information on the Academy can be found at www.ael.uiuc.edu. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from World Harvest Foods, celebrating 16 years of serving the community and 6 years at their current location from Friday, April 7th through Monday, April 10th. World Harvest at the intersection of 6th and University, Champaign.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Coming up in just a moment, we are going to talk with dog trainers Robin Haggard and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. But first, the Storm Prediction Center has issued a tornado watch for portions of central Illinois and central Indiana. So I want to tell you about this. It is effective, this tornado watch, effective this Friday afternoon and evening until 8 o'clock. Tornadoes hail to 2.5 inches in diameter. Thunderstorm wind gusts to 70 miles per hour and dangerous lightning are possible in these areas. In the immediate AM 580 severe weather coverage area, the tornado watch includes the following counties in Illinois: Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Logan, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion. Remember, a tornado watch means conditions are favorable for tornadoes and severe thunderstorms in and close to the watch area. So now is the time to think about what you would do should a tornado or severe thunderstorm rapidly approach. Also, keep an eye on the sky for threatening weather conditions and stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest weather information and possible warnings. Repeating, a tornado watch in effect for portions of central Illinois and Indiana until 8 o'clock tonight. Also, let me remind you that a tornado watch is in effect for far southern Illinois and Indiana until 8 o'clock tonight, and a flash flood watch is in effect for parts of central and southeastern Illinois through this evening in the WILL severe weather coverage area. The flash flood watch includes Coles, Clark, Cumberland, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby counties. Again, stay tuned to AM 580 for the latest on the weather. And now let me welcome to the program, welcome back, Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. They are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they are with us this afternoon to answer questions about dog care, behavior, and training. If you'd like to talk with them, give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Good to see you. Welcome back.
Hi.
How are
Hello.
Things? How are things at Poker Flats?
Busy.
Yeah. Do you have pups?
Just found out yesterday one of our girls is pregnant. Hooray. So we have been trying to breed her for the last 2 years, so she finally decided to get pregnant.
Okay. And so when will the pups
about the
arrive?
Middle of May.
Okay.
So I've got 5 people all over the world just waiting for puppies out of her. So I'm hoping that she decides to have them this time.
Jim and Robin raise and breed Malamutes, beautiful, beautiful dogs. So that's great news. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
You know, last week that tornado went pretty close to Poker Flat.
Did it really?
Yeah, we're north of town, and we kept seeing it on the TV screen as we were huddled in the basement.
Gathering the dogs.
That was a heck of a storm.
Yeah, we got a lot of dogs to get down there, and it was scary for a while.
Yeah. Well, one of the things we might talk about this afternoon is, you know, what to do when severe weather approaches with your animals.
Well, I think it's a lot like dog training. You don't wait until the dog does the bad behavior in order to start training it. You start training it long before, and it's the same with disaster preparation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true of any, not only dog preparation, but you should get the stuff together right now when the weather is fair and there's no pressure, because when the tornado is coming up the road, it's too late to try to get everything.
Think about where you're where you want the dog to be or cat. Crates are a godsend for that sort of situation. And if your animal is identified with a microchip or a tattoo, that's one of the problems with Katrina, is so many of the animals weren't identifiable. So to reunite them with their owners was virtually impossible in most cases. So having the dog identified is really a good thing, because if they do get loose, when they're found, they can then be put back with their owner, hopefully.
Yeah. And what Robin is talking about is a microchip. I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but it's a little transponder, I think. It's like the thing you have on the toll road. We got one of those a couple months ago. You put it on your windshield and you drive through on the toll road and not have to stop and pay the exorbitantly high tolls that they charge. And it's kind of like that. It's about the size of a couple
grain of rice.
Yeah. You know, and it's injected under the skin. And when a kind of a handheld device is held near it, it'll give a readout, a number, mm-hmm. which then can be associated with you. And you can be reunited with the dog. And most veterinarians, animal shelters have, unfortunately, there's several proprietary types, and the McCoys and the Hatfields are always arguing about it. But most shelters and veterinarians have both or all three types so that they can scan the dog with all of them.
Avid and Home Again are the main brands. And I think something like that is what they're thinking about for identifying cattle. They already have, like, ear tags for a lot of cattle, but they're talking about for the BSC and all of the other problems that they're having to identify cattle, their whole lifespan, I think probably the microchip will be what they end up going
with. Do the two of you also recommend having a collar with an identifying tag?
A collar is a good idea, except that if the dog is crated, they can catch the collar on things and choke themselves. So, but I, as a general rule, a collar that's loose enough that they could slip it over their head if they get it caught on something is probably not a bad idea. You definitely don't want to have them running around with a choke collar on, you know,
right.
a slip collar where they could hang it up on something and choke themselves.
Yeah, okay. And I have a cat, and I've been thinking, we haven't had this cat very long. We adopted him in March, just last month.
I was going to say,
that
gosh.
Long ago? Yeah. Time flies.
Or the end of February. Anyway, and he's chipped, and I have a collar for him that's a breakaway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing that the two of you have mentioned now about acclimating the animal to the place where the safe place within the in the home when the siren goes off. Mm-hmm. Good point, because we had to get this guy into the basement, and he didn't like that.
Yeah.
You know,
they can be stubborn. Cats.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, and they know when things are going on, and they'll go hide, and then you can't find them.
So I think what we need to do is just take him down there every once in a while and say, "Hey, isn't this cool? There's treats down here."
Well, yeah, and with crates, especially animals that don't spend much time in the crate, I would definitely feed them in it, give them treats in it, take them down, just leave the door open, just let them go in and out so that they at least get used to that as a safe, you know, fun place to go, put some toys in there. Occasionally shut the door and leave them for half an hour or so that they get used to being in it. And do that when they're tired. I mean, it's just like housebreaking the puppy. When I put them away for the night, I want the dog to be well-exercised and tired. And then they'll hopefully just go to sleep.
And let you sleep.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Listeners, we're talking this afternoon with dog trainers Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. Your questions are invited, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. This is something we've talked about before, but it bears repeating, and, you know, not everyone who is tuning in today was with us the last time we talked about this. And this is when dogs get extremely anxious when there's a storm approaching and through the thunder and lightning. Have you two had, I imagine, with all the dogs over the years that you've had, you've had occasion to deal
with
this.
But not a Malamute, I hasten to add.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't seem to be, they're not real prone to being storm shy. Doris, one of the, a dog we have right now, she, when the thunder hits, she goes and hides. And she refuses to go out to go potty. she won't be found until the thunder stops. But
That's not a really terrible problem.
No, we had a German Shepherd years ago that would rip down the door to get in the house if she was outside. And this is if a cloud came over. And she'd rip the window out of the house to get out of the house if she just, there was no place that was good
for
her.
She felt safe.
Yeah. And one day we came home after a storm and found her, she had locked herself in the closet. And we don't know how she got the door closed and locked, but she
managed.
she did. So those
German
Shepherds.
Well, yeah. She tore everything in the closet just to shreds.
Yeah, everything was on the floor and, you know, and the blinds were
She's just terrified. She was just terrified when all this happened.
Yeah. There's a lot of different ways to approach it. Some people try the acclimating them to the noises and so forth.
There are commercial DVDs? What
CDs?
Are those little things? CDs, thank you. that have thunder on them at various volumes. Yeah. And I've never used one. I don't know if they work, but you can find them.
Yeah. I think that they respond more to the barometric pressure changes, though, than even necessarily the noise and light. But I like Rescue Remedy, and I've mentioned that before. Mm-hmm. It's a Bach flower remedy, and it does have a calming effect. I had to ship a dog this week from O'Hare, and she was a dog who was used to being crated. She was a show dog, but for whatever reason, she was very nervous. And so I put Rescue Remedy in her water, and I gave her a couple of drops on her tongue before I put her in the crate, and then I gave her a really good meaty chewy bone, and she didn't even notice when I left. She was much calmer and happily chewing on her bone. So the Rescue Remedy in most cases just kind of takes the edge off that anxiety. It doesn't cure the problem, but it does help the animal get through.
There are also pheromone sprays or diffusers. Have you had any experience with those?
There are tranquilizing drugs in extreme cases that you can give to the dog.
Yeah.
and it just kind of knocks them out a little bit.
Some vets will give the owner a prescription for like ACE promazine, which will not kind of debilitate the dog to enough so that they can't destroy the house
or
while you're gone.
Or
hurt themselves. Right.
Yeah. And so that is, I would assume that's an anti-anxiety medication?
No, it's an actual...
it's an anesthetic.
Anesthetic.
Tranquilizer.
A lot of times they'll use ACE before they give the main anesthetic when they're doing surgeries and stuff like that.
Okay.
We've used ACE. I've used it when I shipped a dog who had a history of getting out of her crate, and she never liked to be alone. And I had visions of her getting out of her crate on the airplane. So we gave her a light dose just to keep her from being.
We had a dog that got out of his crate after he was unloaded from the airplane out here at Willard.
Yeah.
And before the days of intense security. So we were walking to get the luggage, and here comes, who was it, Dan?
Yeah.
Here comes Dan on the little rotary thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Reminded me of, who was the guy who wrote the book with the herding dogs? You interviewed him.
Oh, John Katz.
Yeah, Katz. I remember it was
Katz
ironic,
and dogs. Yes.
Ironic name, where he was at, I think, the Newark airport. Here's this poor dog, and he wants to open it and comfort the dog. All the dog can think about is getting out of that crate. And boom, as soon as the door was open, he took off.
The border collie.
The border collie, right.
Yeah.
Well, that Whippet's still, they've never found it in New York that I know of. The dog got loose.
We'd hear, I'm sure.
During Westminster week, it was a dog that I think had been shown or was going to be shown at Westminster, and it got loose at the airport, and they have not found it. Yet. They keep thinking that it's holed up in a hangar, but it's a shy whippets are right. A lot of times don't run up to strangers anyway.
They're kind of cat-like, actually.
I think so. A lot of the hound breeds tend to be aloof with strangers, and they tend to not be a real warm
dog.
They're
real dumb.
How'd you?
Whippets?
No, they're not. But at any rate, that dog, as far as I know, they've never been able to find. Yeah, yeah. So,
my mom had a Whippet. That was one smart dog, too. Mm-hmm. So
Right.
Yeah. Honest to God, it was.
Like most towns, I think they learn how to get their way. So you may think they're not so bright, but then it turns out
you're doing what they want.
The
Whippets that have been in the club have been really sweet dogs and not at all aloof, I didn't think.
No.
But
this dog was very gregarious. Loved to run, of course.
Oh, gee, yeah. And that's the problem. Yeah. If they get loose and they get a straight shot, you know, in 10 minutes they can be a couple miles away.
We were talking about breed differences, and having had Malamutes for these 30-some years, we don't teach them a lot of tricks because Malamutes are not really into doing tricks.
45 years, I think, right?
But a friend of ours just got a border collie puppy, and we were talking about teaching the dogs tricks. And I said, well, you people with these busy breeds have to teach them tricks to keep them occupied, whereas the Malamutes just yawn and say, hey, I want to go to bed now. So the breed differences are dramatic at times.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. It's the first Friday of the month, the day we talk about dogs here on the Afternoon Magazine. This afternoon, our guests are Robin Haggard and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They're with us to answer our questions about dog care, behavior, and training. If you've got a question for them, give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Well, what's going on lately at the Dog Training Club?
Yeah, I just got my calendar out to give ourselves some plugs. On the last weekend, I think, in this month, what's this
April.
Month? April, thank you. And I believe that's the 29th and 30th. We're having an agility trial at the Champaign County Fairgrounds, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Got to make sure I get this right. It should start around 8 o'clock in the morning, and it'll go until everybody's run their course. That's usually maybe 2 in the afternoon, both Saturday and Sunday. There's no admission charge,
no,
is there?
No, it's free. It's a nice family thing to go to because the dogs are doing things that would be interesting for kids to watch, and it's a fun thing to see.
Agility, if you haven't seen it on TV, is kind of an obstacle course for the dogs. They have to run through tunnels and up A-frames and through weave poles and a lot of jumps and things like that. I think they have filled. So there'll be a lot of dogs. Although most of the dogs tend to be border collies, we get quite a variety of breeds.
Busy breeds.
Yeah. So that'll be Saturday and Sunday, last weekend in April, out at the fairgrounds.
Okay, very good. You want to put your headphones on and talk with the listener. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Robin Haggard and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. Our listener joining us this afternoon on line one is in Champaign on a cell phone. Good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I just have a comment about Malamutes. We had a Malamute some years ago, and you were right about not into tricks. this Malamute would watch a Labrador that was next door retrieve Frisbees. And the lab would, of course, run out and then jump up and catch the Frisbee. And subsequently, our dog decided that they wanted to do that, the Malamute. So he ran after the Frisbee and then caught the Frisbee and jumped up. He did that 3 or 4 times. He never was into sequencing, we decided. But just a comment, anyway.
That's very typical of the breed.
I'm amazed that he actually caught it twice.
Well, he used to try to steal it from the lab, and the lab wouldn't
right,
let
yeah.
him. And then eventually he wanted to get into the game.
Yeah.
But never quite caught on.
once they find out that it's not edible, they can't figure out what the point is. It's
I don't know. He used to eat anything.
Yeah. They do that.
That's, I thought you were going to say he caught the Frisbee and just chewed it up.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks for the call. Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana on line two. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about bringing another dog into a household. I have a Sheltie mix. That was abused as a puppy. She's very shy, and I guess Shelties tend to be that way anyway. She's very shy, but I'm working with her through Autumn Gold, and she seems to be doing well. But I have a dog that I'm thinking of trying out for the weekend, and I'm not sure how to introduce the two together. Right now I'm by myself. My husband's away. And I don't think my dog has issues with territory yet. We actually did meet. They did meet at a neutral place, and they just kind of sniffed at each other, ignored each other. And the person who's a rescue person said, "Well, that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
They're not aggressive with each other."
Are they opposite sexes?
No.
Excuse me. Oh, the same.
And I've heard that's.
It can be more issues.
It's more issues if they're the same sex, right?
Yeah.
What kind of dog is the new dog?
It's a Corgi Dachshund cross, and she's very mellow. She's just very mellow.
It's hard to believe with those two kinds of dogs.
She's very mellow, unusually so. So she's trained, she's mellow, she's good with everything, kids and all that. We took them to the dog park, and they just kind of ignored each other, and then... A small puppy, but bigger than either of them, came in. It was a Staffordshire Terrier puppy, and they both growled at her. And she's a female, too.
Oh.
And they really growled at her, and then when the puppy left, they just kind of didn't interact. But
a lot of times that growling at the puppy would just be to tell the puppy that they were dominant to it.
Right.
They could tell it was a puppy. And
yeah, too much in play and all that.
And just to say, your place is over there, kid.
Right.
But
So I'm thinking of having a friend is coming next weekend. I'm thinking it might be good to have another person with me. I have hip replacements, and I'm sort of limited, not really a lot, but
it's always a good idea in a situation like that, yes, to have another person handy in case the dog should decide to get into it. But if they've met on neutral territory and had no particular issues, then having the other person bring them, I would have them meet still outside at your home.
Okay.
If you've got a fenced yard.
Well, not even in the yard, but maybe down the street.
Okay,
meet at a neutral place and then walk to your backyard.
Okay,
And that way they can kind of get accustomed to each other. Your dog is likely to be possessive about things like its toys, its bed.
She's very possessive about me.
Oh, that... Okay, that...
I mean, she hasn't, been aggressive to
people,
but... Or dogs.
Yeah, but that can be an issue. Jealousy can cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you probably will need to do is make sure that your dog doesn't feel like it's not getting the attention.
That's what Linda Case said. She said you need to make sure that your dog knows she's number one in your life.
Yeah. And don't back up the new dog. In other words, if they get into any kind of an argument... Don't back up the new dog. Don't scold your dog, your first dog.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to scold anybody, scold the new dog, because you want to back up the one that's whose territory it is.
Yeah,
and she has little confidence. I mean, a big issue for her is confidence.
So. Food would help too, but only from your hand, not in a place where they can start fighting about it.
Mm.
So you give your dog a treat, give the other dog a treat.
I see. Okay.
That and food always reduces tension.
Okay.
Yeah.
Neither of them, I know my dog is not she does not know what to do with toys.
Oh, well, that's a shame, but it is one of those things that dogs that were traumatized sometimes don't.
Yeah, and the other one, I don't sense she's a player either, which is kind of disappointing because I was hoping to get it, to maybe find a dog that was more playful that she might learn to play with. But I don't know. You know, there's a lot of unknowns here, so
yeah.
I want to try to maximize the good things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But like I said, I don't really won't know until I bring.
Well, the nice thing is if they do get along and the new dog is a confident dog, that mm-hmm. will hopefully help mm-hmm. with your Sheltie mix confidence-wise.
Right, right. My Sheltie mix, I'm not even working, but when I leave the house, you know, and it doesn't matter how long I'm gone, you know, she just, when I come home, she just cries like a baby. I mean, she's just beside herself.
Yeah.
So that's one reason I thought, well, having a companion would help that.
Hopefully it would, especially if they bond after
yeah.
a bit and get to be buddies.
Yeah. Well, this is just going to be a test weekend. Mm-hmm. My husband doesn't know I'm doing this. And so it's just, you know, let's visit and then mm-hmm. we'll try it and then I'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your advice.
Okay, well, best of luck.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thanks for the call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area if you've got a question about dog behavior, dog training, dog care. Anywhere else, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Our guests this afternoon are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, Robin Haggard and Jim Keel. I want to mention that coming up in May, on the first Friday in May, which is May 5th, we will have a woman who is known as the dog listener on the program. Jan Fennell will join us. She's a Brit, and she will be in the States doing some touring and lecturing and whatnot. And she is going to be in the Chicago area early in May. And let me just tell folks about that, because some folks might be interested in this. There is going to be a lecture at Northwestern University's Evanston campus on May 3rd at 6:30 p.m. She's also going to present her foundation course on May 6th and 7th at Northwestern, and May 9th and 10th at a location yet to be determined in the Chicago area. So for more information on this, you can visit the website peacefulpaws.us, peacefulpaws.us. .us. There's a registration form and other information there as well. And then on May 5th, Friday, May 5th, Jay Fennell will join us here on the Afternoon Magazine. Let's talk next with a listener in Champaign on a cell phone. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. Actually, I think I kind of have two questions. I recently got a puppy from the Humane Society. And actually, I found him. I turned him in. No chip. Nobody called. So I said I'd take him. He's really small. We thought he was younger, but our vet said that he's actually probably about 6 months. And so at night, we're crate training him to try to house break him. And he's pretty good. During the day, you know, he'll sleep on the couch or whatever, and he'll just get up and run in the room where I am. And that means, you know, I have to go out now, and we'll go outside. And he's really good about that. But at night, we put him in the crate. And he hates his crate. He absolutely hates it. I have to actually put him in it. And then he'll whine for a little while, and then he'll settle down. And then usually right at about the four-hour mark, he'll go crazy. He'll just wake up and he'll go crazy. And someone will have to get up and go take him outside. And sometimes he'll have to go, like, immediately. You know, like mm-hmm. I really had to go. It was an emergency. But then, like, other nights, like last night, you know, at 3 a.m., you know, I'm getting up going, oh, stupid dog, you take him outside, and he really didn't have to go that bad. And then for the rest of the night, you know, he gets really restless, and then I usually say, you know, at 6 months, I mean, he's got to be able to hold it for at least 4 hours, you know, and then, you know, I usually make him wait, you know, before I take him out, you know, and take him out in the morning, and, you know, but he'll cry, and he'll still be upset, like, all night. And so I guess my question is at 6 months, and of course we don't know his background before this, how long should he be able to hold it at night in his crate? And what sort of things can we do to encourage him to enjoy his crate and to not, you know, constantly keep us up all night?
Well, first of all, I would make sure he doesn't have any kind of a bladder or urinary tract infection.
Okay, yeah, we just took him to a vet, and she said that she didn't think that he had
anything. I always like to rule that out, especially when they, when what they're getting up to do is to pee. But Typically, a dog at 6 months should be able to hold it for 6 to 8 hours without a problem. What may happen is that something wakes him up. It may be, you know, one of you getting up. It may be some other noise, maybe a loud car that drives by your home at that time. Something may be waking him up, and then once he wakes up, then he's got that urgency to go, or he can't settle back down again. But I would restrict his water intake from about 2 hours before you intend to go to bed until bedtime so that he doesn't have access to water for that period of time. That'll help, hopefully.
Okay.
Not have him want to go potty right away. Also, I'd make sure, you probably are doing this already, but I'd make sure to take him out just before he goes to bed.
Yeah, we started doing it. We started, like, taking him out half an hour before bed and then also, like, right at bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
So we could figure out a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is getting him to like the crate. Is the crate in a place where he can see you guys, or is it isolated, like in a utility room or something?
No, it's in the middle of, it's actually my kitchen because that's the only, like, linoleum surface. And usually what we do is, like, the last thing we do before we go to bed. I mean, like, we all brush our teeth and everything, and then we put him in, we say goodnight, shut off the light, and go to bed. So that, but during the day, it's in a pretty high traffic area.
Okay. Periodically during the day, if you want, I would put him in the crate with a bone or a biscuit, close the door, you know, keep him in there for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, make sure he's got something to play with or toys in there. Just sort of make it a place that it's really always pleasant to go in because he's going to get a treat or, you know, get to play with his toys. And then at bedtime, hopefully, he'll be a little more willing to go in.
Do you feed him in the crate?
No.
Feed him in the crate.
Okay.
Feeding him in the crate is another way of associating that with good things. Our dogs, after they once or twice they get fed in a crate, they'll go running in the crate, turn around and say, okay, where's dinner? Of course, they're highly food motivated, so that helps. But whatever his favorite thing is, like if he's got a favorite toy or bone or something like that, put that in the crate periodically so that when he goes in, it's, oh, my favorite thing's in there.
Okay.
That helps to associate him with good things. And if you just put him in there briefly, for brief periods of time, that's also helpful during the day because then he's like, oh, when I go in there, it's not going to be forever. It's just a little bit of time.
Okay, we'll try that. And then my other quick question was, he's right at about 6 months. He's pretty well behaved. He's really smart, which is kind of annoying at times. But he has learned which cats will run from him, and he knows exactly which one. And he chases one of my cats.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always, in the past, I've never had a dog like with a shock collar or a buzz collar or anything like that. But I'm now actually starting to think about. I mean, is that really? I'm coming to the point of, is that the only way? Like, is that, like, my last resort to breaking this horrible habit of chasing my poor white cat everywhere? The cats do have a safe place they can go. We do have rooms where the dog is not... they do have a safe place where they can go and, you know, stuff like that. But the dog knows this, and so the dog will just take off after them. And so she'll run for my bedroom, you know, and the dog thinks it's a great game.
You could put a long line on the dog, about a 6-foot piece of clothesline, just attach it to their collar. And when you see this game starting, just grab the end of that and just hold on to it, and the dog running to the end will give themselves a nice little correction.
In Lady and the Tramp, the Siamese cats made it look like it was the dog's fault.
Yes.
But this is a game where two are playing.
Yeah, the cat may enjoy it as much.
And by the way,
the
this is just a game. The dog isn't going to hurt the cat. I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay.
Well, yeah, seeing the situation, it's hard to judge, but I doubt that. I think it is just a game. And the cat may be enticing him.
as I say, I don't think the dog will hurt the cat, knowing the dog's personality. This particular cat is petrified of the dog.
Oh.
So she is really, like, running in fear. The other cats have all come to realize that the dog won't hurt them.
Yeah.
And so they have stopped running. They have realized that if they don't run, the dog won't chase them.
Yeah.
But this particular cat, who was wild born, and I tamed her, so she was feral, she's just petrified of the dog.
Yeah. Well, I would try the long, the little piece of clothesline just so the dog gives itself a good correction when it tries to run after. And then praise the dog. Tell, good puppy.
When the dog comes back.
Yeah. You didn't, you know. And it will wear out a little bit, especially once the cat understands, and it will eventually get the point that the dog is going to go after it when it runs, and it, I think, will get better as time goes by.
The other cats have all learned this, and they stopped running. And this one poor one cat is just petrified. Okay, I will try the leash. I'll try that then. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And I always really appreciate all the programs that WILL does. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
For you guys. So.
Besides ours?
Well, I love, like, all the, I like David Inch's in the morning, and I like the ones in the afternoon. I have to admit that, like, my car radio is always tuned to AM 580. So.
Great. That's what we'd like to hear. Thanks for the call. Good
You're
luck.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And check back with us later and let us know how things are going. Let's take another call. Line two, another cell phone. Hi.
Hello. I have a five-year-old foxhound pointer mix that we got from the shelter. She digs everywhere in the yard. I cannot figure out any way to stop her from digging. I've tried putting pepper down and the dog away, and I fence in some flower beds, but nothing seems to really last. And I'm going to hang up and listen because I'm driving, and my dog will be listening too. Thank you.
Digging is a very hard thing to cure.
Yeah, dogs are actually den dwellers, and those things on the front of their legs are just designed to dig. I'll make suggestions, and then Robin can make some. But without cutting, you know, their toes off or anything, cut the nails as short as you can. That may discourage a little digging. But another thing to do, especially if they're digging up the backyard, is to put a sandbox back there and bury treasure in it, bones, candy, and the dog will start digging in there. Of course, it'll be kind of a mess in the area, so you want it well contained, and probably will start leaving other places alone. You can also start hiding bones and treats around the yard, so instead of digging, the dog starts hunting, and because everything's on the surface. Some people will throw just regular dog food and scatter it. I kind of worry that the dog, having found some food, might dig in that spot to find some more. And the other thing is, you know, just keep an eye on the dog. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, sometimes there's a couple reasons for digging. One can be that the dog is looking for a more comfortable place to sleep as well. Cool earth that they've just dug up is cooler.
Especially with shorter-coated dogs.
More comfortable. So they may be digging a place for them to lay. So you might want to make sure that wherever, when they're out in the yard, they have plenty of shade in a place where they don't necessarily can't dig, like with patio block down or something like that. The other thing is boredom if they're out too long by themselves with no attention. Some dogs will just start digging just out of boredom.
What are those toys where you put food inside?
Yeah, like a Buster ball.
A Buster ball.
Purina also makes a little rubber thing that you can put dog food in. And the dog can spend a lot of time trying to get it, packing a bone with easy cheese or peanut butter. Just giving the dog something to do other than digging if it's going to be left alone, like all day while you're at work or something. Putting things in the holes, filling in the holes, haven't usually worked for us, I have to say.
Well, if we put some dog feces in the hole, they will stop digging in that hole, at least while the feces is fresh. After a while, it doesn't work. But also, I think we have less concern about our yard than other people do. So if the dogs dig holes, we go, c'est la vie.
We have 5 acres fence for those dogs, and they dig
right outside the back door.
It's like,
right.
Uncanny.
You walk out, you fall on your face because they've dug a hole.
It's so much more convenient. It's right outside the door.
You know, they could go anywhere out in the field and dig, and no one would care.
Yeah.
So it's a slight problem, but we really don't try to train the dogs not to do it.
Okay, let's take another call. Listener in Mattoon, line 3, hi.
Hi. This is a question about obedience training. I don't know
if good.
Within the scope of this talk. We haven't been to any trials, but we're working with our dog. And this question has to do with a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks that are helping me train really aren't AKC people, so we kind of discussed this, and we didn't know if this was allowed or not. But our dog will stand if you sit him, take one step, say heel, one step, and then he will stand on the stand command. And we didn't know if that was allowed or if there was another way to do it. He stands very nicely, but you have to get him up and make a little bit of a forward movement before he'll stand.
That's perfectly fine, and that's very acceptable way to do it.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's
so you can actually give the command to heel, take one big step, then the stand command, and that's going to be A-okay then.
The exercise starts when you say stay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The judging starts
when you say stay. So. If you can transfer the verbal heel that you're giving to a hand signal so that you hold your hand out in front, kind of move your hand in front of their nose forward, just give it a little sweeping motion as you walk forward, that's probably a good idea, and then say stand at the same time.
Okay.
And then when
just kind of make it look like all one sort of
right
big standing motion rather than two separate things.
Yeah. Although they won't start judging you until you say stay.
Okay.
That's the point the exercise really starts for judging.
We haven't been judged yet, but it should be very interesting. He's an Airedale. And I don't know.
I grew up with an Airedale. They're a fun breed, but they can be a little stubborn.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say he's stubborn, but impish comes to mind.
Yeah. Our own obedience trial is the middle of June here in Champaign.
June 10th. Probably in Bloomington over the
Memorial Day. Yeah.
They'll have obedience at least one day, probably 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we were going to at least train him so that then we could do some agility. Mm-hmm. I think they have to be somewhat trained before they can.
Correct. Yes.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and let's mention, we're about that time. We'll wrap things up here this afternoon. Mention again the agility trial that's coming up at the end of the month, Jim.
The 28th? Did I say that? The 28th and 29th, or is it the 29th and 30th?
Is it what, Friday? Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday,
so it's the 29th and 30th.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Out at the Champaign County Fairgrounds, starting around 8 o'clock and ending approximately 2 in the afternoon, and no entry charge. Please don't bring any dogs unless they're entered, of course. That can be a problem.
Okay.
But bring yourself.
Yeah. And classes coming up?
We just started a session. I had my orientation for my puppy class, in fact, last night, so we just started a session this past week. The Kennel Club just started a confirmation class as well, so we've got classes going for everything, basically.
Okay, so to find out what the latest is at the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, just put that into your browser and you'll come up to the website and there you'll be.
Right. A Bowser browser. Thank you very much.
Jim, thanks. Robin, thank you.
Thank you.
Next month on the program, we will talk with a woman known as the Dog Listener, Jan Fennell. That's on May 5th. Let me remind you, listeners, that a tornado watch is in effect for Champaign, Christian, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, DeWitt, Douglas, Edgar, Logan, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Sangamon, Shelby, and Vermilion counties in the WILL severe weather coverage area until 8 o'clock. tonight. A tornado watch in effect for far southern Illinois and far southern Indiana until 8 o'clock tonight, and a flash flood watch in effect for portions of central and southeastern Illinois through this evening. In the WILL severe weather coverage area, the following counties are included: Coles, Clark, Cumberland, Edgar, Moultrie, and Shelby. 9 minutes before 2 o'clock Central Time. Settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Celeste, and good afternoon, everyone. It was another big day in the corn pit, where December corn set yet another contract high today, the third this week. We're looking at the outside markets, though, as a reason for what was going on, particularly a jobs report, and we'll discuss the implications of that jobs report that came out today with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, on the closing market report at 2:06. However, we did note that investors have been turning to the commodity markets for investment alternatives, the lagging equity, bond, and foreign exchange markets, and a number of analysts are saying that that trend will continue. Let's go ahead then and look at the settlement prices at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Merck, and at Kansas City, where we'll begin with the May wheat contract. The high on the day there of 431, a low of 426.5, settling 430, down one on the day. The July contract.